You are listening to The Life of Jesus Christ in a Year from the visions of Anne Catherine Emmerich from TAM. I'm Father Edward Looney, and each day I will be reading and offering commentary to guide you through Anne Catherine Emmerich's magnificent mystical revelations. In addition to listening, you can follow along with the four-volume hardcover set of The Life of Jesus Christ in Biblical Revelations, available from TAM. Before we get to today's reading, though, let us ask the intercession of our venerable author. O blessed Anne Catherine Emmerich, devout and pious follower of Christ, who patiently endured the frailty of this mortal condition, who humbly received the honorable marks of Christ Jesus on your hands, feet, side, head, and chest, the marks which you were blessed by the Lord to witness for yourself in his own sufferings, we graciously ask for your intercession with God, that we sinners may be forgiven and our sins be drawn more completely into spiritual communion with Christ, our Lord, and our Savior. We ask this in the name of the Most Holy Lamb of God, and through the intercession of Holy Mary, our Mother. Amen. Today is day number 170. Today we pick up where we left off in section number 1 in the section pertaining to the second conversion of Magdalene to the keys to Peter. Number 1 pertains to Jesus' teaching in Azanoth and the second conversion of Magdalene. Magdalene also, from her splendid seat upon which she had attracted all eyes, fell in violent convulsions. Her companions in sin applied perfumes as restoratives and wanted to carry her away. Desiring to remain under the empire of the evil one, they were themselves glad to profit by the opportunity to retire from the scene. But just then some persons near her cried out, "Stop, Master, stop! This woman is dying!" Jesus interrupted his discourse to reply, "Place her on the chair. The death she is now dying is a good death, and one that will vivify her." After some time, another word of Jesus pierced her to the heart, and she again fell into convulsions, during which dark forms escaped from her. A crowd gathered around her in alarm, while her own immediate party tried once again to bring her to herself. She was soon able to resume her seat on her beautiful chair, and then she tried to look as if she had suffered only an ordinary fainting spell. She had now become the object of general attention, especially as many other possessed back in the crowd had, like her, fallen into convulsions, and afterward rose up, freed from the evil one. But when, for the third time, Magdalene fell down in violent convulsions, the excitement increased, and Martha hurried forward to her. When she recovered consciousness, she acted like one bereft of her senses. She wept passionately and wanted to go where the holy women were sitting. The frivolous companions with whom she had come hither held her back forcibly, declaring that she should not play the fool, and they at last succeeded in getting her down the mountain. Lazarus, Martha, and others who had followed her now went forward and led her to the Inn of the Holy Women. The crowd of worldlings who had accompanied Magdalene had already made their way off. Before going down to his inn, Jesus healed many blind and sick. Later on, he taught again in the school, and Magdalene was present. She was not yet quite cured, but profoundly impressed, and no longer so wantonly arrayed. She had laid aside her superfluous finery, some of which was made of a fine scalloped material like pointed lace, and so perishable that it could be worn only once. She was now veiled. Jesus, in his instruction, appeared again to speak for her special benefit, and when he fixed upon her his penetrating glance, she fell once more into unconsciousness, and another evil spirit went out of her. Her maids bore her from the synagogue to where she was received by Martha and Mary, who took her back to the inn. She was now like one distracted. She cried and wept. She ran through the public streets, saying to all she met that she was a wicked creature, a sinner, the refuse of humanity. The holy women had the greatest trouble to quiet her. She tore her garments, disarranged her hair, and hid her face in the folds of her veil. When Jesus returned to his inn with the disciples and some of the Pharisees, and while they were taking some refreshments standing, Magdalene escaped from the holy women, Ran, with streaming hair and uttering loud lamentations, made her way through the crowd, cast herself at Jesus' feet, weeping and moaning, and asked if she might still hope for salvation. The Pharisees and disciples, scandalized at the sight, said to Jesus that he should no longer suffer this reprobate woman to create disturbance everywhere, that he should send her away once for all. But Jesus replied, "Permit her to weep and lament. Ye know what is passing in her." And he turned to her with words of consolation. He told her to repent from her heart, to believe and to hope, for that she should soon find peace. Then he bade her depart with confidence. Martha, who had followed with her maids, took her again to her inn. Magdalene did nothing but wringing her hands in lament. She was not yet quite freed from the power of the evil one, who tortured and tormented her with the most frightful remorse and despair. There was no rest for her. She thought herself forever lost. Upon her request, Lazarus went to Magdalene in order to take charge of her property and to dissolve the ties she had there formed. She owned near Azanoth and in the surrounding country fields and vineyards, which Lazarus, on account of her extravagance, had previously sequestered. To escape the great crowd that had gathered here, Jesus went that night with his disciples into the neighborhood of Damna, where there was an inn, as well as a lovely eminence, upon which stood a chair for teaching. Next morning, when the holy women came thither, accompanied by Magdalene, they found Jesus already encompassed by people, seeking his aid. When his departure became known, the crowds awaiting him at Azanoth, as well as new visitors, came streaming into Damna, and fresh bands continued to arrive during the whole instruction. Magdalene, crushed and miserable, now sat among the holy women. Jesus inveighed severely against the sin of impurity, and said that it was that vice that had called down fire upon Sodom and Gomorrah. He spoke of the mercy of God also, and of the present time of pardon, almost conjuring his hearers to accept the grace offered them. Thrice during this discourse did Jesus rest his glance upon Magdalene, and each time I saw her sinking down and dark vapors issuing from her. The third time the holy women carried her away. She was pale, weak, annihilated, as it were, and scarcely recognizable. Her tears flowed incessantly. She was completely transformed and passionately sighed to confess her sins to Jesus and receive pardon. The instruction over, Jesus went to a retired place, whither Mary herself and Martha led Magdalene to him. She fell on her face, weeping at his feet, her hair flowing loosely around her. Jesus comforted her. When Mary and Martha had withdrawn, she cried for pardon and confessed her numerous transgressions and asked over and over, "Lord, is there still salvation for me?" Jesus forgave her sins, and she implored him to save her from another relapse. He promised so to do, gave her his blessing, and spoke to her of the virtue of purity, also of his mother, who was pure without stain. He praised Mary highly in terms I never heard before from his lips, and commanded Magdalene to unite herself closely to her and to seek her for advice and consolation. When Jesus and Magdalene rejoined the holy women, Jesus said to them, "She has been a great sinner, but for all future time, she will be a model of penitence." Magdalene, through her passionate emotion, her grief and her tears, was no longer like a human being, but like a shadow tottering from weakness. She was, however, calm, though still weeping, silent tears that exhausted her. The holy women comforted her with many marks of affection, while she in turn craved pardon of each. As they had to set out for the name, and Magdalene was too weak to accompany them, Martha, Anna Cleophas, and Mary the Suphonite went with her to Damna, in order to rest that night and follow the others next morning. The holy women went through Cana to Nain. Jesus and the disciples went across through the valley of the baths of Bethulia, 4 or 5 hours farther on to Gaphnir, a large city that lay on a height between Cana and Sepphoris. They passed the night outside the city at an inn that was near a cave called John's Cave. This concludes our reading today, and now we reflect on what we have just listened to what we have just read. It is the latter portion of today's reading that really gets to the good stuff, the meat and potatoes of this chapter that we are reading. We hear about Magdalene and we hear about the preaching of Jesus. Jesus is preaching severely against the sin of impurity. We know that that's a sin that Mary Magdalene is accused of and had struggles with. So it's almost as if Jesus, looking into her heart, is preaching to her specifically. As a preacher, sometimes I get that from people. They say, you know, it seems like you were just preaching to me. This is what I needed to hear. And for the most part, maybe there's an isolated situation where I'm aware of something and I'm preaching around it. But for the most part, those are inspirations of God, because the homilies I prepare are based upon the scriptures. And if they're touching a person when they need it the most, well, that's the Lord God who is inspiring and God who is speaking to them. But as Jesus preaches severely against the sin of impurity, he also speaks of the mercy of God and the present time of pardon. So it's a reminder to those that might struggle that there's always forgiveness in the Lord. She continued to sink down as Jesus was preaching, maybe overwhelmed, embarrassed. We hear, you know, kind of these demons coming out, maybe even. She asks the Lord, is there salvation for me? Of course there is. Jesus forgave her sins, implored her to save her from another relapse, and who does he recommend to her? The blessed ever-Virgin Mary. Incredible. Powerful. We know that Mary is a great intercessor, especially in our struggles with sin. And today in this reading, Jesus makes that known, wants people to know that they have a friend in Our Lady, that they actually have a mother and an advocate. This brings us to the end of our reading and reflection for today. Please be sure to subscribe to the podcast and sign up for email notifications at emmerichpodcast.com and use coupon code ACE25 for 25% off your next order at tanbooks.com. I hope you'll join us next time as we continue meditating on the life of Jesus Christ with the help of Blessed Anne Catherine Emmerich. Please share this podcast with others, rate and review it wherever you listen. Share it on social media, email it to your prayer group, text a link to your friends, and encourage them to, so you can have holy conversations about what we're hearing and reading from Anne Catherine Emmerich. Until then, may God bless you and Mary pray for you.